Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning, Neil here, and what an honor it is to be with you online. I am so excited about what God is doing in this season, and to be caught up in his purposes, I think is just something absolutely wonderful. And I really want to encourage you over this next season, would you lean into God? I know we're coming into summer and sometimes we can get our holiday heads on, especially because of COVID and we felt we've been locked down and restricted. But I really want to encourage you as much as I can. Lean into God, lean into his purposes. Come on, it would be great to see you in person on a Sunday in God's house. We are believing that there are great days ahead of us. Well, today we continue our summer series, which is Legends and Misfits. One of my favorite series, we revisit it every year, because I love the fact that we can go to God's Word, we can look at the different men and women of faith, and we can see from their life the good days, the bad days, the highs and the lows, the times that everything was going well and the times that they were facing difficulty, and yet faith and trust in God and his purpose, and those that were called, that they began to see God work out so many different things in their life. Well, I had an incredible experience this week. On Tuesday, I was at the funeral of John Tate, an incredible AOG pastor, pioneer, and missionary. And what an honor it was to be able to represent AOG and attend that service through there in Kirimbolg Hall. Kirimbolg is the village that John came from. And I tell you, I thought I knew about John's life and most of what happened, but I was amazed just as we heard the multitude of tributes, especially from Africa, Southern Africa, where he and his dear wife were missionaries for a period of time. And the fact that they stepped out in faith as a young couple. And as I was listening to those tributes, both that were coming on online from folks and the tributes that were there in the hall, I tell you, my heart was stirred. I was inspired. There was something just incredible as we heard about this man of God that came from a small village but reached so far for the purposes of God. And then on Thursday, I actually watched online the funeral service of Jim McConnell. If you don't know Jim McConnell, then you need to look at your Irish history. Whitewell Metropolitan Tabernacle, an incredible pioneer and evangelist. I think he was one of the first men churches over in that area to get above 1,000 people, and how God had used him, and once again to hear these tributes. And as I was listening both on the Wednesday and on the Thursday, there was something that just began to get into my spirit, and I began to reminisce when I was a young man, when I was a young boy. And I remember I would watch my dad preach with a power and with an authority as he would declare the mighty works of God. And I remember thinking, I would love to be able to preach like my dad. And then I had the incredible opportunity to travel several years with my brother Philip in the United States of America. I was his bass player. Come on, some of you will remember those times, Big Afro, etc., etc. It was a wonderful time in my life. And I would observe him as he too would preach the word of God, just like my dad. And I was amazed, both of them, incredible orators. They were able to communicate in such a beautiful fashion, but more than just their oratory skills, their love for Jesus. And I remember as a young boy thinking, I wonder if God could use me. I wonder if I could be like that. And then I would, all my insecurities would come to the fore, and I was sort of like, well, no, I'm not as gifted as they are. I'm not as intelligent as they are. And all the excuses would begin to play out in my head as to why I could not be used by God. Well, of course, we know the history. I began to just put my trust in God. And as I asked the question, can God use me? And as I just said, God, will you use me? And as I made myself available, then I truly believe that I've been surrendered to his purposes. And I still believe that the best is yet to come. But I remember as a young boy, there was a portion of scripture that always helped me so much when my insecurities, my inadequacies, my feeling of less than, when the comparison trap would be played in my mind, in my head, there's a portion of Scripture that I found so helpful. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Listen to what Paul says. "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. "Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." And I think when we begin to look at this passage of Scripture, we see that God used this man, Paul. And even in making that statement, it amazes me that God chose a guy like this. It was Paul, of course, that wrote most of the New Testament. It was Paul that had the message to preach to the Gentiles. And that's why we are here today. It is Paul who gives us a great understanding of the gospel. It's Paul who said the mysteries of the gospel are made known. It was Paul that said that it was God's intent that through the church the manifold wisdom of God should be known. Paul breaks down these kingdom truths and helps us understand that yes, God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. And there's something about when we look at the life of Paul and we look at these legends and misfits that helps us understand the character of God, because how and who God chooses and uses is a reflection of his character. Do you notice something when you go to the Bible? It's not all the good people that were chosen by God, the people with a heritage, the people with pedigree, the people with intellect, the people with education, the people that had everything working right for them. Yes, God did use some people like that, but most of the people that God used came from backgrounds very similar to us. We see people that were dysfunctional. We see people of limited education. But God doesn't go to the places that man would go to choose his generals. Why? Because God will go to places that no one else will go, to choose people that no one else would choose, to put his power and anointing upon them and to propel them into purpose. Why? So that every one of us would understand that if God can use them, yes, my friend, God could use us. And God uses Paul. Paul, the guy that they laid their coats at his feet when Stephen was being martyred. So what did God do with Paul? He transformed his life. You're so familiar with this story. He's on his way to Damascus and he's knocked from his horse. He ends up blind and he ends up in the home of Judas on the straight street. And there's a man called Ananias that is sent with a faithful message. And I would love to preach on Ananias, the guy that went according to the word of God, with courage knocked on the door and spoke and called brother Saul, who became Paul. The one who was willing to be courageous, and because of his act of courage, we have the incredible life that we read of Paul. And God used Paul of all people. What did God do with Paul? God took him from disgrace to amazing grace. And I want to say to you this morning, my friend, or whenever you're listening, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever has happened in your world, whatever it is that the enemy would try to amplify and remind you that you did in your past, the good news is this, that it is covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And whatever disgrace we've gone through, we rely on his amazing grace. You look at Paul, there are a lot of people that had better credentials, would have seemed to have been better suited for the purposes of God. But this is what God does. God leaps over the most likely and he uses the unlikely. Tell you what, folks, that's my testimony. A lot of people that would have been more likely to lead Apex Church, but God leapt over them and he chose this unlikely character. And we see that when we go to the Bible. Come on, what about young David? David is in a field looking after sheep. Samuel comes to the house of Jesse, David's father. And David is not even invited to the feast. And of course, all of David's brothers go before Samuel because he has been sent by God to anoint the next king. But what does God do? He rejects the likely and he chooses the unlikely one, David. Why? Because he is the one ordained by God, chosen by God, purposed by God to do incredible things. And even Samuel himself, when he looked at Eliab, he thought, surely this must be the Lord's anointed. You see, he went by what he saw. And of course, we have that wonderful scripture. Man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. What about Gideon in a wine press, fearful and afraid? He's trying to hide from the enemy. He's afraid that the enemy is going to come and steal that portion of the harvest that God has given him. And in the midst of fear, in the midst of hiding, in the midst of feeling less than, what does God say? Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. I believe that's the word of the Lord for someone right now. You feel less than, you feel inadequate, you feel inferior. Here's the word of the Lord. You are a mighty man. You are a mighty woman of courage, of purpose, and of power. Esther, an orphan, is positioned in the palace. Why? For such a time as this. And what about the simple fishermen that are washing their nets when they're called by Jesus to fulfill the purposes of God? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's be honest, church, as we begin to explore the scriptures, we would say they are the most unlikely of characters to be found in that role. But I'm glad that it's not our choice, but it's God who chooses. And we read here in verse 26, brothers and sisters, think of what you were, listen to this, when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. So who are the type of people that God chooses? And I hope this is helpful to you because I see from the scripture that God chooses those who appear to be foolish. Have you noticed that we live in an age, we live in a time where it's all about being sophistication. We've got to get it all together. We think we've got to have all the smarts. We think we've got to be articulate. Well, that would take me out. We think that we have got to be the picture perfect example before one man will listen to us, but most importantly, before God can use us. And I'm thankful for education. I'm thankful for smart people. I'm thankful for people that are articulate. Please don't hear what I am not saying. But I really believe in this season of moving forward. If you want to be a legend, if you want to move from being a misfit to be a hero for God, I believe he's looking for people who actually don't mind looking foolish in the eyes of man. Because foolishness in the eyes of God is totally different from foolishness in the eyes of man. And I think that we spend too much time trying to look good. We're too concerned about what people are going to think. Come on, let's be honest. We're trying to impress people. We want people to go, wow, aren't they incredible? And we spend our lives trying to fit in when God has actually called us to stand out. We spend our time trying to be like everyone else when the Bible's very clear. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And I want to challenge you this morning. If you're spending your life trying to fit in, because of the purposes of God, because of the plan of God, because of the call of God, don't you think it's time that there's just something different about us? Don't you want to have a conversation with someone that doesn't know Jesus? Don't you want to walk into a room and somebody just says, there's something different about that person? and you have the opportunity to share is because of what God has done and what God is doing, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, then we can be faithful witnesses for Him. Hey, those that are prepared to perhaps look foolish. I'm very aware that the type of church we are, because we clap our hands loud, because we sing, because we raise our hands, because as a preacher I get excited and say amen, I think some people would look on that and think, that guy's nuts. He's foolish. In fact, I spoke to someone who now attends the church, and they said when they first came, they weren't a Christian. And the first time they heard me preach with passion and enthusiasm, just like I'm doing right now, can I hear an amen? They actually said to me, I thought, that guy, he's crazy. This is totally different. But I want to say to you, what seems foolish in the eyes of the world is not foolish to God. You know, the world thinks that we're foolish when we sing, when our world is falling apart. Let's be honest, church. Doesn't it seem a bit crazy that when things are going wrong, when nothing's lining up, when your heart is breaking, that you can actually have a song, that you can sing, that you can be joyful, just like the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And in the natural eye, to people looking on, they must think, this is bizarre. But that is the type of people God is looking to use. Those that when their heart is breaking, they can still have a song in the night. Habakkuk put it so well. He said these words, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. That's context. Listen to this next verse. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. Friends, there's context, but that's the action. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. How do we fight our battles? Through praise. In the natural, it seems foolish. I know there are many of you just like me. You've been driving along in the car and facing a difficult season, a dry season, a challenging season, a heartbreaking season. And in that car, all on your own, you begin to sing and praise God. Why? This is how we fight our battles. And I tell you what, praise puts you on the front foot. Not on the defensive, but on the offensive. It may seem crazy, but God is looking for those that are prepared to look foolish in the eyes of man. Many of you know that I love to go out, whether it's running on the treadmill or out for a walk. And I have become so aware over the lockdown of my style of walking. You see, Christopher, my youngest son, when he was home, he says, Dad, you don't walk, you march. And it's true. I'm out there to lose some weight. I'm out to exercise. I'm out to get healthy. Folks, I'm not just out for a casual stroll. And I tell you, my arms go, my shoulders go, everything about me is, this guy is serious. And Chris is sort of like, Dad, would you just slow it down? And I've noticed more over this lockdown than ever before, cars that are passing, and I just see a smile coming on people's face and sort of looking at me and then looking at each other if there's other people in the car. And I can tell that they're amused by my style. And I actually began to get a little bit, wow, what's going on here? And tried to slow down and actually tried to change myself. Now, Neil, just keep your hands at your side. Because I just felt awkward because people were laughing at me. But when I tried to change my style, I just didn't feel that I was getting the exercise. For me, it wasn't working. And I had to come to the conclusion, I don't care if I look foolish in the eyes of other people. I'm out here to exercise. I tell you, it's like that in the things of God. I believe that God is looking for people that instead of feeling self-conscious because folks are looking at us, what will they say? What will they think? I believe that God is looking for someone that is prepared to look foolish in the eyes of man. I remember when my dad used to have the open airs down in Broad Street, and many of you have heard me speak about this so many times before. And he was one of the times on his pickup truck, and just a small microphone there, a microphone stand. And as he's preaching and speaking, and then they got up to sing, and God really challenged them and says, "Simon, I want you to just dance before the Lord." And my dad looked down, and right in front of him was his banker. And my dad thought, "Oh God, not now, any other time but now." And God says to him, "Simon, are you prepared to look foolish in the eyes of man?" And Dad just began to dance and rejoice. And something incredible began to happen across that sea of people as they saw freedom in Christ Jesus. But I also believe that God is looking for those who appear to be weak, without strength. Verse 27 says, "God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." Why? Because the mighty ones depend on their own strength and ability. And God is looking for people that recognize that I don't have it all together, that I don't have what it takes. I need help. I need God. Without God, I am going to fail. You see, too many of us are dependent on self-reliance, self-ability, our own strength, our own confidence. And I believe that God is looking for those. And yes, my friend, that's you. Maybe you're saying this morning, "I'm weak. I don't have what it takes." You're the very person that God is looking for. That great hymn, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less," we have these words: "I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." You see, today, industry writes off the weak. They think you cannot make it. They push you aside. They're looking for only the strong. But I've discovered that in the midst of my weakness, when I am weak, He is strong. And I believe that God is looking for people that will come to Him and say, "God, I don't have much. I don't think I have what it takes. But God, can you use me?" And lastly, God will use those who appear to be lowly. Verse 28, "God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not." In other words, those that are unknown, those that feel inferior, the unheard ones. We know of people of prominence and we know of people of power. But in God's kingdom, it's often the people whose names are unknown who are the true heroes. People who are despised, people who have been overlooked, people who have been passed over, people who are not popular. Does that feel like you this morning? Do you know what? You are the very person that God is looking for. "Neil, I don't have what it takes." My friend, you're not what you think you are. You're not what you feel you are. You are what God says you are. And even if most of your life you've been overlooked, unrecognized, passed over, you're the very person that God is looking for. Now, why would God choose these people? I can sum this up very easy. That no flesh should glory, but that all the glory goes to Him. You see, if you have it all together, if you're relying on your self-ability, if you're sort of like, "Hey, I can make this happen," then you don't need God. But God is looking for people that say, "God, I'm going to step up. I don't feel like I'm capable. In the natural, it doesn't look like I have what it takes. But I tell you what, God, I'm going to go for it." Because people will know that when we accomplish great things for you, that we were not able to do it in human strength. But this must have been the hand of God. My friend, your qualifications in the natural do not disqualify you from the purposes of God. And I believe in this series of legends and misfits, just as I said at the beginning, so inspired by these two great men of God. They came from different places in the UK. They've outworked They're calling in different places, but I believe that both of them received the well done, good and faithful servant. And you're listening to my voice and you've never given your heart to Jesus. You've never responded to him. I want to pray for you right now. And I really want to challenge you. God has an incredible plan for your life. Destiny is waiting to explode. And maybe you're even saying right now, I don't have what it takes to live this Christian life. My friend, none of us do. But by the grace of God, he will take us and he will mold us and he will shape us and he will position us and he will equip us for his purposes. You want to give your heart to Jesus. You want a relationship with God. You want the peace of God that passes understanding. I want to pray with you right now. Would you repeat this prayer after me if you want Christ to come into your heart? Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner, but I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I make you Lord. You are my Savior. I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. If you prayed that, come on, would you get it in the chat? I said yes, and someone will be in touch with you. But I also want to pray right now for those that are saying, can God use me? You see, sometimes we think to be used by God, we've got to get on a plane, travel to a foreign country, or we think we've got to be able to have a platform ministry. No, I believe God wants to use every one of us. And I want to pray right now and come against insecurity and fear and the motivation of man. And I want to speak the purposes of God into your life right now. So Heavenly Father, I come into agreement with my brothers and sisters, those that feel the most unlikely, those that are thinking right now we're not capable, those that are listening to my voice and thinking of so many other people that God would choose rather than them. And I want an awareness right now that God is just looking for our obedience and our submission to his will so that great things can be accomplished and he would receive the glory. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that we would all step up in this season and be the people you've called us to be. In Jesus' name.